For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by Fevo. I am your host, Tracy Sandler. 49ers mini camp has come and gone. The last day got canceled, and I am joined by ESPN's Nick Wagner, the amazing, incomparable, incredible, smart, and funny Nick Wagner. I'm really big on introductions on the show, Nick, so I wanted you to get your due.
Well, yeah, but you left off handsome, which is
and
really
handsome and handsome because I don't want people to get the
and
wrong
modest,
idea.
And modest
and just really all around, your perfect guy really is what this we're gonna. This is now turned into Bumble, you guys. This is now a dating show.
Well, now you've set the bar too high, Tracy. Now we've gone too far with it. We got to manage expectations here.
I guess that's fair. But there's no one better to talk about the 49ers. How's that?
No, I'll take it.
That seems fair. So, Nick, minicamp done. We'll see if there's any off-season program left next week. But for now, minicamp is done. And to me, there are a couple storylines because obviously, as you are well aware, there was no Deebo Samuel practicing. He was there, but he was not practicing. You didn't have Kittle on the field practicing. You didn't have Fred Warner. You didn't have Trent Williams. You didn't have Nick Bosa doing anything, but individual drills. So we're not going to glean a ton, but looking towards training camp, looking towards the season, the 49ers have a new quarterback in Trey Lance. And I think it seems that all signs point to him at least being able to step into that role. Kyle Juszczyk told us on Wednesday he's embraced really everything about being a QB1 on the field, off the field. So I do think we've seen kind of a marked difference from him. So would love to kind of get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's interesting. And really, let's be honest, mini camps and OTAs, you should never try to glean too much from them, even if all
Correct.
Those guys you mentioned are on the field. It just isn't a time for that. You know, I know everyone wants to know, like, you know, what was Trey Lance's completion percentage during minicamp? Like, well, I'm not going to do that. Now, training camp is more fair game for that kind of stuff because they are working towards the season, but it isn't like that. So yeah, you have to really focus. If you're going to look for takeaways, things to really take away from the minicamp, I think you have to look more at intangible stuff, which is hard, right? Because you can't quantify intangibles. But I do think that the Trey Lance storyline is obviously the biggest storyline surrounding this team, which is saying something because there's quite a few big storylines surrounding this team that haven't gone away and don't seem to go away. But the Trey Lance thing is the one that is going to dictate the way this season goes and really the way the future of this franchise goes, if we're going to zoom out and look at it from a big picture. So I think just seeing him and understanding where he is, just his comfortability, getting in front of the media, things like that. And he even acknowledged it the other day on Tuesday, very openly, how, you know, last year, I think he used the phrase, he was in a weird spot.
Yep, that's exactly what he said.
Which we would all agree that he was, but we'd never heard him say it. And a lot of people were saying, oh, it's not awkward. It's not, and maybe he uses weird instead of awkward as his chosen adjective. But it was a weird spot because, as you know, Tracy, I requested him many times last year to speak to him, and he just wasn't available because he was the backup quarterback. And he said part of the reason he wasn't is he didn't feel like he had much to say and he wasn't playing. So just seeing him up there and feeling more comfortable and kind of openly talking about different things. And, you know, he's openly acknowledged that a few things that I think are interesting, one of which is you can tell Trey kind of reads and sees everything. He's at least aware of it, which I think is partially people telling him just so he's prepared if he's asked about certain things in press conferences. But still, like, he's a very perceptive guy. He knows what's being said about him. He knows what's going on. But I think at the end of the day, we still know that the only answer to the question that matters the most, and that is Trey Lance ready to be this team starter and take them deep into the postseason, which is all that people really, really care about at the end of the day. The answer to that question is we don't know.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's basketball championship finals, the NHL hockey conference finals, Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. We're not going to know in training camp either. We're not going to know until the season gets going.
And nobody knows. And anyone telling you otherwise is just flat out lying to you. And so I know in our business, it's not cool to say, I don't know, but it's actually the right answer in this situation. And so there are things that are encouraging. You can see some of the tweaks that he's made, you know, maybe minor tweaks to his throwing motion. He had really accurate deep balls the other day on Wednesday. It looked really good in some of the 7-on-7 that they were doing. But again, until it's 11-on-11, there's pads on, there's a team that is allowed to hit him and do all those things, we're not going to really know the answer to that. The one answer I do think we have, and I think we expected this all along, is that Trey Lance is going to get the opportunity to answer that question.
Yes, absolutely. And I think really, if we were all paying attention, which I know we were, we knew that the day they made that trade on March 26, 2021. I don't know that that was ever, now for all the conversation and consternation and debate, that was always going to be the case when this 2022 season begins. So that is Trey Lance. You mentioned there are some big storylines around this team. One of them I mentioned earlier, Deebo Samuel did arrive to mandatory minicamp. He did show up. He was running on the side the first day on Wednesday. He was playing catch with Kyle Shanahan's son, Carter. And I will say this for Deebo. He also, in 7-on-7s and everything, he was very excited when good things happened for the offense. There was a lot of, you know, running around and jumping up and down and excitement. That does not change the fact that he has not signed a contract extension, that he has at one point requested a trade. You know, I do think they will probably figure this out on some level, but I just don't know how much to read into it. I mean, if he didn't show up, he loses like $95,000. So The alternative is to just show up. So he showed up. Yeah. I don't know how much it means for the reparation. Is that a word? Did I make that up? Reparation?
Yeah, no, reparation is a word. Yes. Very
fantastic.
Good.
Woohoo! English major right here. Reparation of that relationship.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I do think maybe the biggest takeaway of this mini camp, we were talking about what you could take away from it, is the attendance. Like that, like mm-hmm. taking, it's literally like a second grade thing, like just taking attendance on who's there and who's not. And look, it's easy to be cynical and say, yes, Deebo probably, if he wasn't going to get fined, he probably wouldn't have showed up. Sure, that's true. And that's definitely probably at least part of the reason that he did show up, but we see in other places, and this is a very comparable situation. DK Metcalf in Seattle didn't show up. Mm-hmm. It's, you can't take it just, you know, by itself as, oh, this is just him trying to save some money. And to your point, he was very engaged on Wednesday. Not just, you know, cheering on. He had a play sheet. He was following along with practice as it was going on. So I think the one thing that I keep going back to, I pointed this out on social media the other day after it was reported that he was going to be there. Kyle Shanahan at the draft, when he was talking about the Deebo situation for the first time, he made it a point to kind of say, not even kind of, he did say that they wanted to get in person with Deebo Samuel, away from phones and screens and all those things. And that was going to be an opportunity to really start kind of, I don't know if, you know, repair whatever's broken, because Kyle Shanahan doesn't seem to think it's as broken as maybe the outside world does. But either way, getting Deebo Samuel in person and just having the opportunity to spend time with him and have him in the locker room and kind of get that feeling for Deebo Samuel again, of for him to feel what it's like to be around his teammates, how much he's missed, how much he's liked in that locker room. And then for you know, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan to have opportunities to see him and talk about things and hash things out. Those things matter. And even if it didn't necessarily, you know, fix everything right away and Deebo didn't sign a contract in the you know, 72 hours that they were here for minicamp, it at least starts kind of paving that road back to getting to the destination that they want to go to, which is, of course, getting him signed to a lucrative long-term contract that it's going to keep him with the 49ers for a long time. So you can definitely be cynical and say it's just about money. I do think it's at least partially about money, but I also think that it is important for him to be here in person and for them to have a conversation, have multiple conversations in person and just interact again and kind of get back to that feeling of when things were good and there wasn't a trade request. We have no idea if Debo has rescinded that trade request or not. There has been nothing to indicate that he has necessarily, but just the fact that he's here or was here is an indication that he's at least willing to, you know, meet in person and have those, start having some of those conversations.
Absolutely. And I certainly don't think money was the only reason. And I will also say, I don't think he wasn't faking it at Wednesday's practice. There's no reason to fake it. We couldn't be filming right at that point. Cameras going to be on. And it did look like he was having fun. And maybe there is something to be said for getting back around your teammates and being among the people that you like playing with. And I think one could argue that perhaps the best place for Debo Samuel from a football perspective is with Kyle Shanahan. So
yeah,
I think maybe, who knows, maybe there was a reminder of that, maybe there wasn't, but it's interesting. I did ask Kyle on Tuesday if he'd had an opportunity yet to sit down with Debo personally one-on-one, and he said he had not yet. Now, we're recording this on a Thursday, and I'm sure.
Well, he said he had recently, though, right?
He said he had recently, but not in the last couple of days.
Not the last couple of days, right? Yeah.
But he said he hadn't recently, so.
No. And I thought actually maybe the most enlightening interview, at least in terms of the subject we've had, was with Trent Williams when he was talking about it. And we all know Trent Williams and Debo Samuel are very close friends. And Trent, you know, he said kind of the standard line that most players say, which is, hey, this is a business. We all understand the business side. We're not going to overstep. And you know, he's not going to take Debo Samuel's side and talk to him and tell him what he needs to do, but he's there as a sounding board for Debo Samuel. And Trent said that Debo has on multiple occasions reached out to him looking for that advice. And they've had some, I think Trent called them good quality talks about the situation. And Trent has been able to give him some advice. And I think the interesting line that Trent Williams said was, he said that Debo's taking the situation by the horns and that he's showing how mature he is by showing up. I think that goes a long way. And I think that at least alludes to there being something settled somewhere along the way where Trent Williams said, hey, maybe as a goodwill gesture, you know, you show up for the mini camp and you guys can talk, sit down and talk things out. And I'm just extrapolating. I don't know that that's what happened, but it was just kind of alluded to in that way that, you know, and for Trent Williams to point that out specifically and say that at least an indicator that again, maybe there's some thawing of whatever it is that's gone on.
And I think actually with Trent Williams saying that, you know, when Trent Williams signed his contract, one of the things he said is that, you know, he was deciding between a couple teams. And when it came down to the wire, he called Kyle. And so obviously there is an open communication there between Kyle and the players. And I think Trent would have the ability to give that type of guidance. I was going to say advice, but I don't really want to use that word. I think guidance to Debo in, like what you said, have the conversation, sit down, have the one-on-one talk. So my sense is probably is going to be an all's well that ends well come training camp, but time will tell. There is another contract extension for one Nick Bosa that was brought up this week. And Nick basically was like, yeah, I don't know anything about that. Talk to my agent or I'll let my agent deal with that. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. I would say that maybe is even more important, but it's interesting. The Rams have sure made it difficult on the 49ers with Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp this week and the contracts that they have signed.
Yeah.
The 49ers are going to kind of have to get their axe in gear because those, you know, you have two players at those positions in San Francisco who I'm sure are paying very close attention to, or at least their agents are, to what those guys got in Los Angeles.
The Bosa one is really interesting to me because Kyle Shanahan openly said the other day that, you know, there haven't been contract discussions with Nick Bosa yet. And then Eric Branch, our friend at the San Francisco Chronicle, was asking Bosa about it. And I followed up and asked him, like, you know, would you like to get a contract done before this season? And again, he kind of just demurred and said, no, I'm not really worried about that. I'll let my agent handle those things. But it makes me wonder if Bosa is even necessarily worried about getting a deal done this year, because The 49ers do have the fifth year option that they already exercised, which, you know, guarantees that he would be around for another season. Really, that's two seasons or no, that's a, yeah. So he'd have two more seasons that they have him under team control, which of course they still have the franchise tag and all those things as well. I'm sure he'd want to get a deal done before that. But it is interesting. And the way the timing of these things work is, you know, Bosa, if he does really want to get a deal done, we would know that probably right around when training camp opens, because more than likely, if that is a priority for him, he wouldn't step on the field and begin practicing until a deal is done. So we'll find out more about that. That's also just kind of how Nick Bosa is. He's a little bit more laid back. He's you know, just going to kind of let things fall into place as they may. But it is something I wonder about if he is in a hurry to get this deal done this year, or maybe in his mind, and again, I'm just throwing this out there based on where we stand right now, but maybe in his mind, he'd like to put together another huge year, knowing that, you know, a year from now, he would cash in even further, that, you know, the numbers will continue to rise for edge rushers, and the salary cap is going to explode next year. And so maybe there would be an opportunity for him to really take it to another level in terms of what his contract could look like. That's a possibility. I don't know if that's what he's thinking. He's, you know, he obviously playing his cards close to the chest, but it is something to wonder about, because there haven't been discussions yet. And you would think that if there were, that, you know, they would have at least had some preliminary stuff that would start getting the ball rolling so they could get something done, you know, in July.
Conversely, the other side of that coin is for San Francisco. You might want to get a deal done sooner rather than later, because Nick Bosa, clearly, assuming he stays healthy, will probably come out and have another monster season. And then the salary cap explodes. I mean, I think you'd want to get a deal done quickly. And Nick Bosa said yesterday he has absolutely come back in better shape, which I don't even know how that's possible. I feel like I need his diet program.
The thing with the injury thing you bring up, if he stays healthy, maybe that's something the Niners would like to see again, though, because
true.
He hasn't only been available two out of those 3 years. So, I can understand how all sides would see it from all sides, so to speak, you know. Obviously, you know, Kyle Shanahan didn't seem too concerned about it. I think with a thing like Bosa too, his contract. And people want to compare it to Deebo Samuel, and it's really kind of unfair because Bosa it's a very clearly defined position, and there's a very clearly defined market for those guys. What his brother makes, what TJ Watt makes, what Myles Garrett makes, you know what the price is, and that's just going to be what it is, and that's what he's going to get. Whereas Deebo Samuel, it is a lot harder to figure out because of, you know, the wide back stuff that he did last year, whether he wants to continue to do that. There's all these different things that are playing into that. And I know other receivers are getting paid, but the question the Niners have to ask themselves is do we want to pay him like a pure receiver, like a Davante Adams or a Tyreek Hill, or are we trying to pay him more in line with kind of that versatility? And if he doesn't want to do the running back stuff anymore, how do we then value him strictly as a wide receiver compared to some of these other guys who are getting paid, who have, you know, kind of a longer history of stacking big numbers as pure receivers than Deebo does. So that's really, I think, it's an unfair thing to kind of pit those two against each other, that I've seen some of that out there in the internet world. But I do think that they're vastly different situations, and one is far more complicated than the other, which we already knew, of course, based on how it's played out on the Deebo side. But I think even just if you're looking at it in more black and white terms, it's certainly different.
It certainly is. And listen, if I'm Deebo Samuel, then I do want the running back portion of it to come into play, because that's really what's going to get him paid, is the fact that he can do both. If we're going purely on wide receiver numbers over the last few years, there's a health issue there. There's health issues going back to college. If you're just going on wide receiver numbers, I don't feel like you could look at the Tyreek Hill contract, the AJ Brown contract, because these guys have shown year after year that they're durable and they can perform in that position. And what makes him unique is the ability to do both. So it is, as you said, very complicated.
And with Deebo too, you know, if you're the Niners, at least this is how I would look at it, is I would say, okay, what is the highest paid receiver make? What does the highest paid running back make? And then let's meet halfway between those two, which would still bring him into the a fairly highly paid receiver salary, something in the $23 to $24 million a year range, right? If Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams are in that $30 million a year range, and I think Christian McCaffrey is the highest paid running back at $17 million, if you split that difference, you're in that $23-$24 million area, which I think is a is a place that makes sense. But then you see AJ Brown is, you know, closer to 25 and things like that. So I think in Debo's mind, maybe it's, I want to be paid like one of those top receivers. And then I want a tax on top of it to play running back, if that's what you're asking me to do. So I don't know. I don't know that. Again, that's just kind of what a logical argument from both angles would look like, I think. But again, we don't know how that's going to play out. And we still, at the end of the day, we still don't know what Debo Samuel really wants and what is the thing that has him kind of upset him in the first place here.
And we may never know that, to be honest. That may be one of the great.
I hope we do.
I hope we do too. But it could be one of the great mysteries of the 2022 49er season. But you know, we'll probably find out eventually, in theory. Well, I think we hit kind of the main hot spots. The 49ers do have a bit of an offensive line issue to figure out. Alex Mack retired, and I talked about this last week with our good friend Matt Maiocco. And they do have some issues along the line. But again, I think these are the kind of things that we're not going to really know how those play out till training camp. We get an idea to really, you know, really see Aaron Banks and really see potentially Jake Brendel at center and see how things play out there. But I think other than that, we have hit the main hot button 49ers items.
Yeah, that offensive line thing is a I don't want to call it sneaky big, because those who follow this team closely.
No, it's just big. I don't think it's sneaky. It's an issue.
I added the sneaky only because we just talked about like three huge other things that are drawing more national headlines, and we didn't even talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, of course.
No, he is not.
So that's another one. But the offensive line thing is a little confounding for me, to be honest, Tracy. And the reason I say that is because it's not like that has been a super position of strength. And if you're the Niners, you could argue, yeah, because it hasn't been a position of strength, you know, how do you know it's going to be worse? But I also think that you lose Alex Mack, who was a solid player last year for you. You know what you're getting. He's, a veteran, you know, all the things that he brings to the table. You lose Laken Tomlinson. And look, I'm someone who's not, I'm not going to blame the 49ers for letting Laken Tomlinson leave based on the price that he got. I just think that your resources, you can't spend that kind of money at every position. And it made more sense for me anyway, and I think for the Niners, based on what they did, to use that money to sign a top corner as opposed to a guard. That's just positional value. That's the way that it works, but they're going to miss Laken Tomlinson. So now you have Laken Tomlinson. So now you have a question mark at left guard. Now you have a question mark at center. Right guard, I would argue, has been the biggest weakness that you could say, really going back to 2019 in the Super Bowl. I still say that, I understand why Patrick Mahomes won Super Bowl MVP, but Chris Jones is the player that took over that game for the Chiefs in the fourth quarter. And it was because the 49ers had Mike Person at right guard, who was banged up in that game, but did not have much success against Chris Jones. Not that a lot of guards do, but it has been a thing that has showed up. It showed up last year in the NFC Championship game, where Aaron Donald kind of took over towards the end of that game. We heard Trent Williams this week also add to that, saying he didn't think that he necessarily should have played, looking back on that, with a bad ankle. So, you know, Von Miller and Leonard Floyd and those guys also had a lot of success against the 49ers. But the interior of the line has been a consistent issue. And I don't say it's an issue in the sense of like, oh, it's debilitating to the 49ers offense, but it's showing up in the biggest moments. And that's where this team is, Tracy, right? Like this is a team that has been knocking on the door to winning a Super Bowl a couple of times in the last 3 years. And one of the most glaring issues that's held them back has been an inability for the interior of that line, particularly on the right side at right guard, to hold up in the biggest moments. And so for them to just kind of roll with what they have, maybe it works. Maybe they know something that we don't, and you'd like to think that they do. But it is three big question marks instead of just one. And oh, by the way, you have a young quarterback who hasn't started but two games in his whole career. And you're putting him behind that group too. So maybe they're hoping that Trey Lance's legs can offset some of that stuff. But to me, it is a huge question. And I think it's something that is going to bear monitoring closely, not only through camp, but as the season goes on.
Well, and I think you could make the argument that it does debilitate the offense, because if it's showing up in the biggest moments, at the end of the day, that offense needs to perform in the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship game. And if that's showing up in the biggest moments, then that does debilitate the offense in some way. I think that argument could be made. May not be debilitating them week to week, but on those big games. It does. So I think it's a pretty big thing to keep an eye out. And I've definitely talked a lot on this podcast about how it could affect a young quarterback. Now, you know, Matt Maiocco said last week that he felt like Trey Lance's legs maybe do make up for it on some level, but it definitely bears keeping an eye on because, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be very interesting to see where this team is at the trade deadline. And it's not often that you find you're just one right guard away from the Super Bowl, but they might feel that way. And that could end up being a big trade.
It's such a non-sexy conversation to have, right? Like the offensive line, particularly on the interior, is not a thing that people really talk about. But even to the point of, yeah, Trey Lance's legs can offset that. I mean, the quickest way from point A to B is a straight line. And those interior guys are the closest to the quarterback when the ball is snapped. So if he's not getting that protection, I don't care how athletic he is, it's awfully difficult to get away from those guys as opposed to, you know, pressure from the edge where you can step up in the pocket and you have an escape route to wherever that edge rusher is just vacated, those types of things. That's a different kind of pressure. It's why Aaron Donald and Trent Williams said it, and he was kind of joking, but I think he probably wasn't, about Aaron Donald, you know, not retiring. He said he wished he would have retired. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And I know there's, you know, Daniel Brunskill has on occasion played well against Aaron Donald, but, you know, didn't do so in the NFC Championship game. And that's not something I would want to continue betting on anyone. And that's nothing against Daniel Brunskill, just anyone against Aaron Donald. That is going to continue to be an issue for the foreseeable future. And I think we're in kind of a golden age of defensive tackles in general. If you look around the league right now, Aaron Donald has really opened a lot of eyes to that, where there's a lot of defensive tackles who are getting credit and getting paid. We saw it happen with DeForest Buckner. Eric Armstead, now probably going to be a defensive tackle exclusively, makes a lot of money. There's a lot of guys like that. Chris Jones, who I just mentioned a minute ago, another one. So yeah, it is not, that's an issue that is not going to go away. And it's going to be something that continues to show up unless the 49ers are right. And to their credit, they believe in their player development system and they've done that. And again, I'm not sitting here advocating that they need to spend $40 million in free agency to shore up their line like the Bengals just did. I'm just saying that I'm a little bit surprised. I will be a little bit surprised because they still have time, obviously, if they don't go out and add another center who has some, you know, experience doing this. And I know there's not a lot of options out there. I know JC Treader is a name that a lot of people throw out there. My understanding is that knee issue that he had last year basically kept him from practicing, and he was playing in games. And so that's the question. How can, you know, if you bring in a guy like that, can he even practice? And you have a young quarterback, you can't really risk that going week to week. So there's all kinds of things that play into this. I realize I said this isn't a sexy conversation and I just rambled on about it for 10 minutes, but it is something that is going to be closely watched as we move forward here.
Well, I'm glad you did, because it's something that I brought it up every single time I've done this podcast since free agency started. So I'm really glad that you quote unquote rambled, even though I don't think you were rambling, because it may not seem like a sexy conversation, but once again, if you're playing in the NFC Championship game and the quarterback doesn't have time to throw the ball, that's not sexy either. So there's that. How do you like how I tied that all together?
Very nice. Well done. That's why you're the host and get paid the big bucks.
Yes, exactly. That's definitely it. We did not talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, but I don't really think there's much to say. He's still on the team. They're not going to be able to trade him until he starts throwing. So I think that's going to really just have to be tabled until training camp. Unless there's anything else you want to say on Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think that's kind of where we stand at the moment.
Oh, I mean, you're right. They're in a holding pattern. There's not a ton to add right now. I still find it very hard to believe that he will be on this team come training camp. And I don't know how that's going to play itself out. I should say, I find it very hard to believe he will be on this team come training camp at his current price tag is probably a better way to phrase that. But I, you know, the way Kyle Shanahan has talked about it, the way that they've talked about Trey Lance, I think everybody's ready to turn the page here. They excused Jimmy Garoppolo from the mini camp. Part of that is because he's doing rehab on the shoulder down in Los Angeles. But I also think part of it is it just doesn't make sense to have him around if he's not going to be around this season. And I think that is still going to be the case. It's just kind of a question of how does that come to fruition.
And I would say it's everybody's ready to turn the page, including Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo needs to come back here in a quarterback competition, which isn't going to happen anyways in training camp. So I think everybody wants to turn the page. All right. Well, before I let you go, it's Friday. And on Fridays, we do Cody Corner. And Cody Corner has been kind of sad the last couple weeks because Cody was injured. So I just would like everybody to know that since last Friday, when we didn't do Cody Corner, Cody Bellinger has hit a double and a home run and made a variety of spectacular defensive plays. And that's really all I have to say on the subject, unless you have more to say. And I feel like you do not.
Well, your listeners should be aware that when Tracy talks about Cody Bellinger, and it's a lot when she talks about him in,
quite frequently, in person,
like not on a podcast, she talks about him a lot. There are few subjects, and this is nothing against Cody personally. I'm sure he's a nice man. I have no idea. But there is nothing that makes me tune out and put my headphones on quicker than conversations about Cody Bellinger. And Tracy can attest to that. And again, it's nothing personal to Tracy or Cody. Again, I'm sure Cody is a fine, upstanding citizen. But I'm not a baseball guy, and I just frankly don't care. So.
Correct. So it was really awesome that I had Nick on a Friday when we do Cody Corner, because you really had no choice there.
You had my attention, so I had to listen to the Cody update.
Nick is still scarred for when Cody Bellinger was the NL player of the week, but I digress. It is time to move on and let Nick go about his day. Thank you for joining me, Nick. This was very fun as always.
You're welcome, Tracy. We'll talk to you soon.
You guys don't forget to rate and review. Give us a 5-star review on this podcast. Follow us on Instagram at FanGirl Sports Network. We're brought to you by Bet Online and FIVO. And with that, I'll talk to everybody later. Bye all.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.